Welcome back to Rome Boys. We are on the Royal Caribbean
Adventure of the Sea.
Yes.
Today.
With Teresa Tamio.
Hi. Oh, here we go.
We're just running into you everywhere. So,
it's exciting. You know. Italy, now on a cruise ship.
Yes.
Maybe there'll be Hawaii next time. Who knows?
Oh, my goodness.
If you insist.
If you insist. Thanks to corporate travel.
Aren't they great?
Yeah.
Corporate
Absolutely.
Travel. CTSCentral.net. Check out all their pilgrimages. Rome Boys, Teresa Tamio, Deacon Dom. Amazing travel company.
Yeah. Shameless plug. But yes.
That's okay. That's what we do.
Absolutely.
That, they invited us, so it's their fault.
And it's all about evangelization.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is.
It's been a great time. This Good News Cruise, Marriage Cruise. It's been, I know for my wife and I, it's been refreshing.
Good.
Because the kids aren't here. So, you know, it's none of that. Where'd they go? Where are they?
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah.
It's like, we know where they're at. They're at home.
They're home.
No, it's wonderful. We just hope we get home and they're still at
home.
Still
there.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks for having me. This is so fun.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. We're fortunate enough to be able to participate in some of the activities and even the speaking engagements. And, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't come thinking, okay, my marriage is going to get enriched.
Yes.
Right.
And then whenever you said earlier in your show, how things just pause and you're not with all the distractions of your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't recommend it enough.
Yes.
You know, we've been on other cruises. I think a lot of folks have, but you feel different when you're with 830 other Catholics roaming the world.
And you can go deeper because sometimes you'll have a marriage encounter or a retreat over a weekend, but now it's several days.
Right.
And so you can't run away from God. You can't run away from your spouse.
Exactly.
To talk about what really needs to be talked about.
And we come on board, as you guys know, as speakers and promoters, because Dom and I have been working with corporate travel for years, but we have gotten so much out of the talks. And what I always love as speakers is we don't like talk to each other. We did have Zoom calls for the scheduling and who's going to do what, when, and where, and how's it going to work, and the theme of the cruise. But I didn't call up the Bowmans or the Hernans and say, okay, here's what we're doing for our talks. But what was amazing to me were the similarities of the talks and the similar messages. And that's really the Holy Spirit.
He wants to take it to reach hearts.
Yeah, and I think it's neat because it's all levels. Like, Deacon Dom and I, we started with Archbishop Nauman, which is like a home run.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah.
We just had him. There's us, and we've been married almost 41 years. And you have two younger couples.
Yes.
And then you have Dr. Ray Guarendi, who's married he's 40 years like us. So I think it's a good variety because there's a different people at different levels in their life. Some who have young kids. A lot of people are our age, maybe your age. But there's a lot of people our age who either don't have kids or the kids are out of the house. So I think there really is something for everyone.
Absolutely.
Which I don't know if you guys agree with
absolutely.
That.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the experience we've pulled away from it because we have that variety of age groups with our 46, 50 people that we brought. My parents are here. My aunt and uncle are here.
We met your dad.
Oh,
he's adorable.
Oh,
he's so cute.
Dear.
Another blessing, Deacon.
Yes. Yeah. Exorcism. So we have them. And they've been married for 46 years. I know that because that was a year before me. But and then we actually have a couple who've only been married for two.
Wow.
Yeah. They're enjoying every minute of it.
There's a couple on their honeymoon.
The
Good News. I met them yesterday.
Yes. Awesome.
They are adorable. And this is funny. And talking to a woman at the bar, having a glass of wine while we're on a cruise ship.
Right. Sure.
And she said that they're sitting at her table and the parents are with them. All I kept thinking about was the old Italians that go everywhere with the, right?
Yes.
With the couples.
Oh, yes.
And everything. But no, they're so sweet. They're spending their honeymoon. Could you imagine
that?
What a testimony. But how prepared are they going to be after
Absolutely.
They're married and they're experiencing this?
So this is our 15 years of marriage. And we went on a Royal Caribbean ship in 15 years ago on
for
our
honeymoon.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we thought, oh, this will be a great renewal.
Right.
And but if it were Catholic like this,
it
would
have best of both worlds.
Lacey is excited also about. Well, we're celebrating our 20th here at the end of July.
Congratulations! Yeah.
And she was there for most of it. we were just excited. It was like, this is a no-brainer. Yeah. They're celebrating their 15th, went on a cruise. We've only been on two cruises, but this is our second. This is so by far the best
one. Good, I'm glad you're having a good time.
But she was excited about it. At first, she was sold with thinking that the whole ship was part of the Good News Cruise.
Yeah.
Right. She was like, oh, this is going to be great.
Someday. We're working toward that, though. Yeah. Toward
It'll happen. I mean,
but we're making up over a third of it.
Yes.
So you run into people with our little lanyards on all day long, and they're just like, hey, who are you? You
know? It's like evangelization. You go and you go out and you spread the gospel and tell everybody about the Good News Cruise.
And that's the thing is, and people are so in need. I was describing this morning on the radio show. And by the way, you come next year, get to see two live radio shows. GoodNewsCruise.com, by the way. And I walk into the store, and as I said, I was attracted to the music because I love to dance, and I wasn't buying any jewelry, and my husband will be my witness because I wasn't. I was just listening to the music. And she came up to me. She goes, oh, I love your vibe. And we started talking, and she saw the lanyard, and she said, oh, you're with those cruisers from the Catholic Marriage. Yeah. And then I said, yes, we are. That's all I said. And the fact that I was standing there listening to her, she opened up, told me she was raised Catholic, still prays on a regular basis. She was having a really rough night the day before. She stayed up really late, and she heard a voice telling her, don't go to bed without praying. And I said, sweetie, that was the Holy Spirit. We had this conversation. I mean, it was mostly her, but she was just opening up. And that's because I had a lanyard on and was boogieing into the music. I mean, we can witness in all kinds of ways. And that's what's just so great about this cruise, because the one thing is, and I struggle with this all the time because of being on a daily radio show and having to do the news and deal with all the depressing stuff, is to keep your joy. Don't lose your joy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And everybody is so joyful on this trip.
Yeah. To touch base on that, my wife and I this morning went out and did morning prayer on the balcony overlooking what you could see of the island through the rain. And it was time for Mass, so I just went on in. There was a guy sitting at on the edge there and said, good morning. And he said, have a blessed day. I said, okay, great. So I went on in. Well, she came in way later.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, what happened to you? She said, well, I ended up talking to the guy. He was in the Navy. He loves being on a boat all the time.
Aww.
And he said, the one thing I've noticed with all of you, you know, the lanyards, you know, he noticed, he seen it. She said, everybody is smiling.
Yeah.
Y'all are all smiling. Yes. Y'all are so much, there's so much joy.
What a statement.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
What a testament. Yeah. We've had a similar experience, Teresa, where they'll see the lanyard or they'll see a shirt. Someone's wearing a Catholic shirt or a Christian shirt with an evangelistic message.
Right. Yeah.
And so a conversation starts. And kind of like the story that you told, there's so many people. The statistic ran through my mind because I have an engineering mind of a sense.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, almost 20% of the other people on this ship are probably Catholic too.
Right, right.
And
then
how many of those were raised Catholic? And so many people have walked up. And, you know, maybe they've had a drink or so, or they're on vacation, they're a little more relaxed, and they just start to pour out their faith. And they do that, and it's so interesting because it's almost as if they need to hear the good news.
Right.
And we're on the Good News Cruise, and you can't be a prophet in your own land, so why not the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, exactly, which is probably very, very Catholic, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Because of the Caribbean and the Catholic influence.
Have you found that in your travels, like, as far as evangelization goes, it's not so much people... Is it more fallen away Catholics and you're evangelizing Catholics or people that are non-Catholic? Because we have found it's like all these people are like, oh, yeah, I used to be Catholic.
And I think it's more because of the size of the church. Yeah. I think it's more fallen away Catholics.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because we, as you guys know, we spend a lot of time in Italy. And there's a young couple that we befriended, and she's was raised Catholic. They're from Romania, and he's Orthodox Christian. Mm-hmm. Wonderful couple, and we befriended them. And they basically, you know, they know he's a deacon and they know what I do because they're kind of helping us in our journey through Italy. And we had invited them over. Well, let's go out to dinner or whatnot. And we just talked to them and befriended them. And we're really nice to them and, you know, just kind of hung out with them. And they said, you guys are so different than most religious people we know. Yeah. And then they started, they both still consider themselves Christians and they both pray. And she's got, in her place in Italy, she's got beautiful icons of Mary, so there's still that connection, right, with Our Lady, but they don't go to church because, well, her father abandoned them when they were... So all this stuff, we started talking to them and just being nice to them, they started opening up why they're struggling with going back to church. And I said, you know what? It's okay. Everybody's got to start somewhere. But we've opened our doors to them.
Yeah.
But she's a fallen away Catholic and he's a fallen away Orthodox. So, you know, very long answer to your question. I would say the vast majority of people that we run into are people who were raised Catholic and don't practice anymore. Mm. But the symbolism, like a T-shirt or a cross or
that simple
that can like click in their memory. Mm-hmm. And then you build on that.
And I'm sure you shared your story. So you're vulnerable and like, oh my gosh, we're the same. You know, we're both in this together. We were both a mess. We still are. We're just trying to improve, you know, over the years.
Well, weren't you guys, and we had a pre-night, which we always do every year. This was Scott and Kimberly Hahn. I'm just like, okay, who are we going to have next year? But I had Dominic and I were like shocked. Like when he said that, when they said they went through marriage counseling, I'm like, are you kidding me? Talk about vulnerability, right?
Yes.
I mean, it was amazing. So that was, I think.
You guys? I thought you led.
We were talking with the Bowmans, and Jason was saying, you know, there I am at Bishop Barron's house, and he's in his sweats, and he said, I had to pinch myself. But one of the things that he, you know, we just get to be around so many great Catholics that are doing something with their faith. Other people might call them celebrities of the faith, but really it's those people that are doing something with what's burning in their heart, like yourselves, honest to goodness. And it inspires us little meager old Rome boys. but what Jason said, I just couldn't agree with more. And that is, every one of them, like Scott and Kimberly, they're very unique, or they're very genuine.
Right.
They're real people, and that's why I think their ministries have just gone so far as it has, God such as you guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in someone who's been, you know, on the air since dirt like myself, people can sense if you're not real. Yeah. That's the biggest thing they can sense. Because if you're delightful woman that I befriended instantly on Saturday morning, we were waiting to get on the bus, and she's from Florida. And she's kind of new to, she's been raised Catholic, very faithful, but she didn't know about this. She didn't know who I was or anything, but we had the best conversation. And she said to me, she was one of the ones who was dancing with me last night till 11 o'clock at night. All of our husbands had gone to sleep. And she said, you're like so real. You're like really nice. It makes me sad because I don't know what kind of impression they've had with other media personalities. But I think when you've been, as Dominic and I have, and as Kimberly and Scott has, if you've been humbled by God, it's like, I'm sorry, who the heck do you think you are? Get over yourself. You know?
Amen.
You're professional and you want the shows to go well.
Sure.
But it's like, if you can't meet someone and say hi, or I heard about, I'm not going to mention this person's name, but another somewhat Catholic media personality who did a cruise and he surrounded himself with security.
Oh, wow.
And this guy is like not even, and I'm not being mean, but he's not even in the realm of the Rome Boys or Ave Maria Radio or EWTN. And I'm like, oh, come
what in the
on.
World?
Get
over
yourself. Yeah. I mean, it's like, really? And I've been in the pinnacle of the business and on big stations and everything, and I've met a lot of people. And the ones that I kept in touch with are the ones who were real.
Amen.
And who got it, you know, because, and then, you know, once you've been fired a few times and again, you have your that's who you are. I think the biggest thing is just being real with other people and showing them that you're vulnerable. Because people don't think that we suffer or we struggle because we're in ministry, so everything must be perfect. Right. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Right. And people can't relate to people who have, everything's just wonderful, and from the time we got married, it was just sunshine and roses, and everything was, crying out
levitating.
Loud. Yeah, levitating together.
Right,
yeah,
at the same time.
It's just,
nobody's pulled that
one.
It's
a little too high.
Yeah,
come down.
And no, it's ridiculous. And it's just, and it's not, I mean, as a speaker, you grow and you learn. You don't have to give every single detail, but you know, there's a lot, I mean, it's certain, like yesterday, or our talk on Sunday, we concentrated on Remember to Remember, because it's a journey, and Father Mike Schmitz, who was our chaplain who came up with the theme, said, I want you to make sure people know it's an ongoing journey. And so that's why that song from Stephen Curtis Chapman, Remember to Remember, was so important. Yeah. So we talked about reflection. In addition, so our testimony was a little bit more condensed. But there's so much more that happened to us in our reversion story that's so important. And we share it in our book, Intimate Graces, and other books. But to let people know that it's okay, that God does meet you where you're at, but he doesn't want to leave you there. He loves you enough not to leave you there. And which is what you guys do in helping people grow in the faith.
Striving for sanctity.
Yeah,
well, going back to being real, you know, it's so much easier being real than it is to be fake.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's a lot of work.
We tried to
cancel Rome Boy Security.
They're still outside, though, aren't they? I saw four of them out there.
Yeah, they're trying
you can
to
do security. Joey.
Yeah. They're actually there to drag us off the ship. No, on the back of our shirt, it says be bold, be Catholic.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be
real is a big part of it, and Joe really personifies that. But I'm gonna, if I may. Yeah. With your busy life, and a lot of people can relate to that.
Yes.
How in the world, we know that you're on the radio like every single day, and I'm like, how does she spend time enough, you know, on everything else and prepare? And then you write a darn book, and then you write another book, Teresa.
Right.
Well, then on top of that,
and travels.
You know, to add to that, you know, and be joyful about it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
being in the media and seeing all the negative.
They're rich. They're genuine.
The
they're real.
Right. Yeah. Well, the time isn't an issue for me because having spent, this is how God prepares you for stuff, because I spent 20 years in hardcore news. I mean, I was a street reporter. I was reporting, you know, noon, 5, 6, and 11, noon, 5, 6, and 11, radio. When I did radio, I was doing 10 newscasts in the morning from like 6 to 10, and then I went out in the street and reported for another 3 or 4 hours and had to come back and edit everything. So I'm used to producing a lot of content.
Okay.
So God trained me in how to produce a lot of content. And as a reporter, it's up to you. You go to a scene of a story, and you have to visually, even if you're on radio, look at everything, take notes, and then turn around and regurgitate it very quickly. So I'm thinking when I'm in the secular media that it's all about me, and I'm all that in a bag of chips, you know, getting all these awards and being on the air. But what God was doing was preparing me for being a radio host. And so doing 2 hours every day, I feel like I don't have enough time because there's so many things to talk about.
Sure. Yeah.
Like even this morning we were interviewing Father Frankie Cicero from the Diocese of Phoenix, who's got this unbelievable like movie type testimony. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking I have to have another hour with him. He's so incredible. So I do, and I admit that God gave me a gift where I have a very good memory. Except my husband says I don't remember when he tells me things, but other than that, he says I have an excellent memory. So he has given me that gift of recall. And some of my friends say that I have a photographic memory, especially when it comes to my favorite outfit that I see online. I can envision it and find it. But so there are certain gifts that you have. But I think it's been enhanced with all that experience. And also, I just love what I do. It doesn't feel like work.
Amen.
The time isn't a big deal for me. Plus, we didn't have any children of our own, so we're a little bit different where we don't have the same struggles that a lot of couples do in balancing and all. But we both had very busy professional careers before we left the secular media. And Dom is the secular culture with our jobs. But Dom is retired now professionally, but he still is very involved in the parish as a deacon. Yeah. And also he's on the board of a wonderful pro-life ministry, Mary's Mantle. He's a knight in the Order of Malta. He's also the CFO of my communications company. So we are busy, but it's just a joy because everything we do, it's all for God. Yeah. And if we look back at our... There's no way in heck we should even be here on this trip and still be married. I mean, it's crazy. It's nuts.
Your story. You
know? Yeah. No, it is. But everybody, I think, people don't realize all of their stories are powerful. Mm-hmm. Yep. But ours is just crazy. Nuts. I mean, it's just like we were close to divorce. And I mean, we were just, I walked out twice. Mm. There's just no reason why we should still be together except by the grace of God. And that he should be a deacon and I should be a Catholic talk show host.
What just happened?
Are you kidding me? You know? Mm-hmm. No. So it's, but I think just in terms of the time factor, it doesn't feel like it because I don't feel like there are enough hours in the day to praise God and to put into writing. So Al and I were talking about this, Al Cresta, who's another awesome, awesome brother in the Lord. And we were just talking the other night, watching the Lions lose the playoffs.
We were praying. Pulling for them.
But we were chatting, and he says, "Do you realize the volume of work we've all produced?" And I've been on with them for 22 years, and I've now produced 14 books, including one that I've written with my husband, Intimate Graces. And then, shameless plug, this latest book that I contributed to. I'm not the only author, but this is a beautiful book, Wisdom for Women in Scripture, that just came out from the ladies you know at Wine. Right? So Kelly Walquist, and she and I worked together on this book along with Dr. Mary Healy and several other women. But there's so many things to say about God and his mercy in the church, and there's so many people in need of it. So if we could make one day 48 hours as opposed to 24, that would be fine with me. If I could have a 6-hour show, I still wouldn't be done because, and not about me, but just to interview and to talk to the people that are just doing amazing things.
You're definitely a pro-life champion.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, I remember being there in World Youth Day in 1993 with John Paul II. My mom was just very devoutly pro-life, so I grew up in that way. When I hear you, I'm like, wow, like there's the future of the pro-life movement. So thank you for all you've done. How can we end abortion? What can we do as a culture, as an individual, to, you know, create a culture of life that John Paul II talked about, that Benedict XVI?
I'm really, and Deacon Dom and I talk about this all the time, we're under the real strong impression that we have to go back to the early church. And Father John Ricardo talks about this, and that's why his ministry, Father John's ministry, is called Acts 29, because it's picking up where the book of Acts left off. And I really believe we are like now the early church, because the world, I think we're in a post-Christian society.
Absolutely.
I don't know about how you guys feel.
Yeah.
But so I think it has to be like the story of the woman in the store, the story of our new friends in Italy, you know, meeting people on the ship, your wife talking to that man outside of Mass. I think it's got to be, in addition to us I mean, you know, the choir needs practice, right? So we have to preach to the choir. We're not just preaching to the choir, but even the choir needs practice. So all of us who are faithful still need to be encouraged. But I really believe it's going to be one-on-one evangelization because we can't, I mean, I'm always talking about pro-life laws and defeating these horrible leftist, you know, extreme amendments. Yeah. But unless we change hearts, somebody else could come along and change another law. But if you change the hearts, and that leads to the change of heart of a politician who gets elected, then that's going to make a difference. I still need think we need all those laws and all those ministries, but it's got to be what we're doing in the pro-life movement, which we never get enough credit for, is we are meeting people where they're at. The pregnancy resource centers, the Mary's Mantles, like my husband is on the board of this wonderful home for unwed moms, and you know, being out there at the abortion mills as he is. I'm married to a saint. I don't know if you know.
He's
going to be canonized while he's alive, because he's married to me for
but I can relate.
But no, seriously, I mean, those are the kinds of things, because people need to know that they're loved, kind of what Jason and you know, Rachel were talking about. You have to know that you're loved. So I think that's where we start. I think it's got to be a dual approach. So we've got to meet them where we're at and love them like crazy. Show them there's another way. But then also, at the same time, we have to be out there changing the laws. I mean, because if you think about abortion, it's just, I mean, I didn't even give it much thought when I was in the secular media. I considered myself pro-choice, but I didn't know anything. I didn't know squat about the issue. And now that I know it, I just have such a responsibility. One of my books, early books, was Extreme Makeover. You know, women changed by Christ, not conformed to the culture. And I have chapters in there about how I was misled and how the media misled so many women. So I think we have to speak about it, and we have to speak about it lovingly. But, you know, to call it out as well. To call it out, but to do it in a way where people are good. And ask questions. I think sometimes, and I know in the early days, I was super, super strong, and I sometimes would attack people. That doesn't win anybody over. So have a conversation. Be willing to listen, because we have nothing to be afraid of. Because Jesus asked some questions, like simple common sense questions, because coming from the media, I know how people just parrot. It, you know, sayings and cliches, because they want to be cool, they want to be woke. You know, well, you know, I'm against abortion for myself, but I would never impose my opinions on anyone else. And so my question would be, okay, so why are you opposed to abortion? What is it about abortion?
That's just interesting. Rattling off bullet points.
So what is it about abortion that you find so offensive that you would not support it? Well, it's the murdering of a child, right? Because if they're against it, that must be what they're against. And then you kind of take it from there and say, okay, well, and kind of walk them through. So it's a one-on-one, but it's it has to be a dual approach, because we can't just let all these politicians run wild with all these extreme amendments that we're seeing. It's just crazy. It's just nuts. So, but again, I think the biggest thing is going to be the changing of hearts.
That makes more sense. My idea was just abolish all lawyers, but
that's a good idea too.
Going back to the one-on-one conversation, that's been my wife's favorite part of this trip so far. It's just the conversation she's had with the guy on the balcony, or just randomly we're walking through the hall, somebody grabs us, and we're just just the one-on-one conversation. It's been great. I stayed up way too late last night. And had maybe way too many drinks. and had great conversations with the guys that we came
with. Sat there when they were doing the country dancing, and we were talking. And then the way back from the disco, I saw you and sat down and we chatted a little bit. But that was fun.
It was a little loud, but it was
To the point of your answer on Tony's question, the first thing that you mentioned is we're basically an apostolic mission. The book from St. Mary's University Press,
Christendom to Apostolic
Mission. And in that book, it says, it quotes Pope Francis' first words to the Roman Curia, which are, Christendom is dead. And when you think about that reality, you know, when was the church exploding and growing at, you know, the greatest numbers? It's when they were on apostolic mission in the mission field. And so we can't be afraid, like John Paul II said, you know, his first words, be not afraid.
Well, think about just in the times we live in now. Where is the faith growing the most? Where there's the most
persecution. Africa, right?
As Benedict said, you know, the church will contract before it expands.
Right, and it's going to be a small remnant.
But much richer in its faith.
And right now we're all on this boat.
Yes, here we are.
Beautiful experience. So I really encourage people. And it's, you know, it's like it's a working cruise for all of us, because we're all here doing a job and we're evangelizing. And But it's such a joy to meet so many people, and the people are just so nice. I mean, it's so Absolutely. Different than when I was in the secular media.
Oh,
my
yeah.
gosh. So it's like covering the March for Life. You bump into somebody, they say, excuse me. It's not yeah. like that in the secular media world right. at all. So, right. yeah.
Right. Now it's like nobody gets on the elevator. No, you first. No,
yeah,
you first.
Oh, I'm sorry. So sorry.
Somebody's
got to
get on.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll
yeah.
just blame it on the drink package.
Yeah.
This has been an absolute joy.
Well, thank you, guys. Yeah. I know I've been on the show via the computer, but it's really right. fun, or Zoom, yeah. whatever we did the first interview. But it's really
better.
Fun
yes.
to be
yes.
back with you. And I yeah. hope was that was fun seeing you guys in Italy.
Oh,
it was.
Great.
That was a blast.
Yeah, for Deacon Dom and I having your dinner.
Are you a good cook as far as Italian food?
Well, my husband's. What do you think, hon? Am I a good cook?
Excellent cook. Smart
so
man.
So I'll tell you a real quick story if we have a minute.
We
so
go.
Father Joe Krupp, he was going to speak briefly at our last year's World Marriage Day because we have a big dinner dance that we do in the Archdiocese of Detroit for World Marriage Day.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. And so we always, because of our marriage journey and because we went to Marriage Encounter and met so much of us, we have been volunteering for this event to MC for years, for probably like 20 years. And it's a blast to get together. We have beautiful music, a nice dinner, dancing, and then we have a great speaker. Well, Father Krupp was part of the lineup last year. Mm. And I said to him, I go, Father, do you like Italian food? And he said, I love Italian food. I said, yeah. Well, I'll make you some pasta. You know, next time I see you, I'll bring it. He says, "No, you're so busy. You don't have time to do that." So yeah, I do. So he was shocked that I brought him. Mm. I brought him. I must have made how much bolognese did I make for him? Like probably enough for six people.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. I knew he lived with his dad, so I gave him some. You know, being Italian, I give him enough for a lot.
Right.
So yeah. I made my homemade bolognese, which is a meat sauce basically, but a little bit more fancier than a meat sauce. And I gave him the pasta, and I gave him bread from my favorite bakery. I gave him some wine. And I said, okay, Father, this will hold you and your dad for a while. He told me they ate it in one night.
Oh, it was just that
good. Yeah. It was that good. So, no, I love to cook, and I think that, that is an expression
yes.
for me and Deacon Dom. And my husband is a wonderful host, and he's such a good – he's, like, because he's an engineer, he's a fabulous baker. I'm not, because I'm not like, exact at anything. Mm-hmm. So my recipes are – I look at a recipe, and then I kind of add it. But
right
exactly, a little wine, a little oregano, a little basil. But for us to do that together, we work in sync because he's an amazing sous chef, and he's so organized when he cuts the onions and everything. You know, it's always very neat.
Yes.
And we make a great team, and we love to cook together. So I am a good cook. Pretty good.
Yeah.
But I actually did a video for Cimbalon, okay. and it was for the marriage program that they had. And I said, marriage is like spaghetti sauce. And Dr. Ted Shree brought me into one of their donors' homes in Denver. And I made spaghetti sauce, and I was talking about the ingredients and what it means. And I talked about the first fight we had when we were married, because we're both 100% Italian, is what's the gravy going to be like?
Which
family? I literally got so mad that I took the spoon and I threw it on the stove, the wooden spoon. Right? And I walked out of the house sobbing.
What?
But yeah, so I told the story of how when you get married, it's like spaghetti sauce because you have ingredients from different... from the husband and the wife, and you put it in together, and then it all should
It's like Dr.
Together.
Han, to become one. Just yes. didn't know which one,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Didn't know which one.
So that was a very long answer to your question about
thank
cooking.
You.
No,
so
great.
Thanks,
yeah.
you guys,
yeah.
for having
yeah, this
me
This has
on.
Been great.
This
so.
Has been wonderful. This is we're on the boat for a couple more days.
Yeah.
We might
yeah.
have to do this again.
Yeah, okay.
So,
yeah.
So again, we appreciate your time with us.
Appreciate
and,
your time.
Being able to visit and hang out and just enjoy this cruise with you.
Yep.
And so in the meantime.
Be bold.
Be real.
Be Catholic.
GoodNewsCruise.com.
Yeah.
Woo.
Join us in 24.
Yes.
Oh, we're in 24. 25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
If they invite us
thanks,
back.
Y'all.